Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, and welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win. This is the regular Thursday night broadcast for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. And our subject this evening, where do we need or why do we need African-centered Ulu community centers wherever we live? Why do we need African-centered Ulu community centers wherever we live? Stay with us as we discuss this important subject. Welcome, welcome once again to Dare to Win. Dare to Win is the place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. Thank you for being with us this evening. And yes, we are the drum, and we are calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Joining us this evening is Brother Thurman, who is a board member of Us Lifting Us. And the subject that we're going to be discussing this evening is, why do we need African-centered Ulu community centers wherever we live? So for those of you who would like to join the conversation this evening, please call into 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or to ask a question. If you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com, and click the Ulu Radio tab, and then click on Listen Live. My name is Sister Nanana, and I'm very pleased, as always, whenever I have this opportunity to be your host this evening and to assist with this evening's discussion. And as I mentioned, joining us today, we have Brother Thurman with us, who's an Us Lifting Us board member. Would you care to give some words of welcome to the listening audience, Brother Thurman?
Yes, family, I welcome your being here and joining us in this conversation and feeling your spirit as well as the spirit of Sister Nanana.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. And this is truly a very timely topic this evening. Why do we need African-centered Ulu community centers wherever we live? Some people might question that and whether or not that is something that is at all a necessity and how it plays a role in our daily lives. So without any further to do, let's go ahead and get right into the subject this evening. Brother Thurman, share with us, tell us why you chose this topic. What is it about this topic or any other factors that fed into your choice of wanting to discuss this evening?
Came from my observation that's been going on for a while now, and the pandemic just makes it more problematic in terms of us not communicating properly and gathering properly, and the information sharing and other things that we would do if we were doing what is normal for African people. It still goes on as a cultural custom in Africa, and it's been going on for thousands of years that we would gather up in the community center. Doesn't have to be a building. You know, in Africa they do it in a it could be a field or a place like a field and for drumming, dancing, storytelling, and various other cultural activities on a daily basis. So I chose it because it's very necessary that we have in every community or village a collective center that's available every day, including our holidays or celebrations, regardless of where we live on the planet. And I mentioned African Synod to correct the misinformation. And we have been bombarded for many, many decades since the invaders came with misinformation, disinformation, straight-up lies, well-dressed lies. And that's African Synod would mean that we would realize that it's absolutely vital that we have an African-centered analysis of everything. So, because for among many reasons, it's not just culture but also history. Our history always is less accurate when we are not focusing on origins and timelines of things. And so, African-centered would tend to keep us in that direction of searching for, comprehending, and taking what was put in writings, in stone, painting on walls, and other writings on papyrus or paper that tells us the real story, the true story. And so that's why I mentioned African-centered. And that was, and number two, I stay inspired by the words of an ancestor sister. And right now, I feel troubled that as much as I have seen her name, I can't tell you what her name is right now. But she said that we must have African centers where we can talk as black as we want, as long as we want. And we got a major problem of not having the centers where we can come and talk as black as we want, as long as we want. Because it's our space. We own it and control it. Mm-hmm. And so now more than ever we need to see, hear, feel each other's energy live and in living color. So everybody that's listening to the call across this country and around the world, we need to gather up as quickly and as regular as possible with all of these sisters and brothers to feel their live, living color energy. Just look them in the eye and just do everything associated with being in each other's presence. And also, whenever there are things going on and we need comfort, we need the community centers are a place that we can come to for cultural comfort and sanity, including when others are celebrating and promoting anti-us European holidays. See, there's African people around the world, including in this land, that feel troubled and lonesome when we don't have the community centers, because when others are celebrating the madness that's destructive to our mind, to our economics and other things, European holidays, our heart's desire would be that we could gather up with each other and play some rhythms, some singing, whatever, spoken word, eat some healthy food together while others are celebrating the merry madness. And so that's amongst the reasons. And I have seen, and it's just there, that there's enormous evidence that's showing that we are suffering more and more, including mental trauma, and that's affecting us now, and it's going to be affecting us into the future generations because of the damaging effects of this pandemic, such as separation anxiety, which is habit forming. And already before this current pandemic, there's still too many of us that have stayed separate from each other, don't sit and talk with each other, don't even greet with each other. And the pandemic has just made it more of a problem that's going to create more psychological damage that a lot of people won't see it right away, but it's already in place. And we have bought into the lockdown thing when we don't even have to be on a lockdown, like not like we in solitary confinement. And in the process of doing that, we are not communicating with our people. We're staying inside, away from the people, but also inside, away from vital and healing sunshine and fresh air. That's part of the wellness prescription that we must have in order to stay well and even to get well, is that vital sunshine and fresh air. The air is not just something you breathe, but it's got nourishment embedded in it, especially when you intentionally take deep breaths. And so that's another conversation, but there's a whole lot more to the subject of deep breathing intentionally and being mindful about that. And then the people are being in this lockdown and that they buying into it, they are moving less physical movement. And so there's a new disease that came out prior to this pandemic called sitting disease, but the pandemic and the lockdown is just adding more to that because the people that wouldn't be intentional about moving and so that they would stay well and be able to function. And so as I said earlier, now more than ever, we need each other's presence. Everything that comes out on the news, every new development, we need to be with each other and share and doing some critical thinking and sharing vital and proper information or perspectives on how do we deal with it. If we don't, mm-hmm. we are being duped. And so just as an example, artificial intelligence. We need to have been talking about that before the pandemic. We need to be talking about it every day. That we don't do it, we're doing a disservice to our future and to future generations. There's some major problems that's anti-us involved in artificial intelligence. We built the greatest civilizations, the greatest structures that's ever been on the planet using our brain computer between our ears. And so why do we need some artificial intelligence that will make sure that lots more of us have no jobs and other things associated with that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for providing that kind of foundational information to help us focus in on this subject. And it sounds to me like what you're leading in with is, we are a communal people. That is part yeah. of our nature, is to be in the company of each other. And if I am not mistaken, the sister who is now an ancestor that you mentioned, who made the statement that we must have African community centers where we can talk as black as we want, as long as we want. I believe that was Francis Cress Welsling, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that was, I've heard that comment before, and I think that mm-hmm. may have been her that said that.
Yes.
And, you know, coming to the recognition of how important it is to see, hear, and feel each other's energy, each other's presence, and to know that that's part of what feeds our psyche, what keeps us balanced in our melanin, and that helps us to move forward and be the literal royalty on this planet that we are, is to be in each other's company. And so being separated from each other is, yeah, that's definitely a detriment for sure. I can see that. So I'm just going to take a moment here to say, for those who may have recently joined in with us, if you would care to take part in the conversation, the number is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and then press the number 1 on your keypad if you would like to ask a question or make a comment. The subject that we're discussing this evening is, why do we need African-centered community centers? Why is that important for us? What's that need all about, and how do we fulfill that need? And we have Brother Thurman with us this evening, a member of the Us Lifting Us board, and he's helping to lead us through this discussion. So let's take it a little step further, Brother Thurman. Perhaps you could give us some give us a basic definition of, you know, what do you mean when you say African-centered? You know, let's not assume that everyone is on the same track and understands. So I would ask a definition around that. And then how would you define a community center?
Yes. And African-centered is that's a broad subject. But to try to simplify it, it would mean that we are embracing our historical information that goes way beyond what we have been misled with Europeans' version of history and whatever. In all subject areas of people activity around the world, when we look at the European version that they have given versus what the African reality is based on, as I said earlier, we always have to look at origins and timelines of things. You know, what came first, who came first? And so miseducation in the medical literature, and then you see this picture of this European with his arms stretched out that's called Hippocrates, the father of medicine, the father of European medicine, according to them. Now, when we go delve into origins and evidence of things, the origins will tell you that when among the world's recognized first fathers of medicine, when this particular brother that I'm getting ready to mention, Hippocrates didn't exist. Maybe even his father didn't exist. And so the Hippocrates is some European fakery. But we know for a fact that an actual brother, wise brother, healer, multi-genius, Imhotep, actually exists. His burial remains can be found. He's not some made-up fantasy person. And so I use that example about Imhotep, I-M-H-O-T-E-P, if I believe I spelled it right. So African-centered would mean that we will not, when we delve into African-centered information, we find ourselves to no longer being duped, and we find ourselves being excited to find out. When we find out about Imhotep and who he was, the world's first documented multi-genius, and not that he was the only one, but documented multi-genius, an astronomer. He went to school for 40-some years, 40-plus years, and at the end of the 40-plus years, he had gained not 33 degrees, but 360, or in his case, 360-plus years of knowledge about engineering, architecture, plants, medicine, surgery, astrology, and just so much, much more. And so just as another example, if we think in terms of Washington, D.C. and this tall needle-like structure, I've been asking sisters and brothers for years, and some of them got the correct evidence and origin verifying information, but if I say, what is that tall needle-like thing, oftentimes they'll stumble, and finally they'll say, or either I say, you're thinking of the Washington Monument, and they say, yeah, and I say, well, who is it a monument to? And most of them, if they had to hesitate, and finally if they said something, most people would say a monument to George Washington, and that's absolutely not true. So based on origins, again, African-centered origins, it's a symbol of divine procreation and part of what it takes to bring forth life. In some literature, they call it an obelisk, or another word is Tekken. But what does it represent? Obelisk, O-B-E-L-I-S-K. But what does it represent? It represents part of what it takes to bring forth life. which to bring forth life requires the meeting or the connecting of the woman's womb and the black man's penis. And the obelisk or tekken is a symbol of the black man's penis, as well as it's got a connection with the sun up at the top of the obelisk. Those are just some of the things that we would come into when we're dealing with African-centered information. And so around the world, you know, whatever country you want to pick, the African-centered origins information would tell us that everywhere on the planet, Russia, Europe, that we were there first. And not only that, the information would tell us that we were the only ones, not us and some of them. And so misinformation that doesn't deal with origins have our people, and they told me most of my life, and a lot of people still say the same thing, we're all the same. And that's absolutely not true. And so in the last several days on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there's a 17-minute video that's done by an ancestor, master teacher named Edward Robinson, and it's about DNA. And you really need to know this, but when we're told we're all the same, then we would assume, and they would want us to assume, that we got the same DNA, or either we got a little less than them. And the real deal is the evidence that they have studied about themselves and us is that the higher the DNA number, the higher your intelligence. And the DNA of the Europeans and the Asians and the Japanese that studied this report that Dr. Robinson refers to is 6. But the DNA sequence or series, whatever the proper term is, for African people is 9. And so that's just another example of the African-centered information versus the European misinformation.
Okay, well, thank you. That helps me to be clear about how that term is focused in on that which is indicative of culture and customs and just everyday life activity that comes from the continent, that comes from the motherland. I think that there are those who would say that an African community center could be viewed as sort of a home away from home. And that's certainly something that would resonate with me for sure, to be able to have a place within a specific geographic area to go to be able to meet and greet and to carry out other activities, a place where children could be safe to play, all kinds of things going on within that particular physical space. So as we continue to lay the foundation for this and before we take a music break, maybe you could kind of outline for us what you see, how these community centers might look, what kind of services might be provided in them, or anything else that you think would be important to be included.
Okay. And were you going to take the musical break now? Yes.
I can do that.
No,
sure.
I didn't know if I had miscued what that was. You want me to go ahead? You tell me, whatever. Yeah. And so you already said that an African community center is a home away from home. We need to be able to feel at home wherever we go. You know, if we travel to gather with some of our people tomorrow, whether it was 50 miles, 100 miles, or 3,000 miles, we should feel at home. And so, you know, lots of folks have traveled to Africa. And when they got there, the folks just welcomed them and said, oh, thank you for coming back home. And we need to be able to feel at home in the community center answers that. And especially when we are at home in a community center that's group owned and controlled by us, meaning that we can stay there and be there as long as we want to. And it's a place where we can center and ground ourselves. And when we're out dealing with others and the environment and the unnatural and the foul and toxic and polluted environment, to come amongst us, to come amongst the sisters and the brothers and the babies and the children and the elders, it's grounding and it centers us. And so the more that we stay grounded and centered, the more well, the more sane, the more our well-being is in place. And it's a place where we can share deliberate, therapeutic, deep conversation. And so Africans have forever had what's called African deep thought. And it still happens, but there's a whole bunch of Africans on this planet that never engage in African deep thought. But deep thought just takes you into another realm of thinking, and it's very corrective. And so you tend not to be susceptible to all of this pollution of the mind that's being through the media and socialization and whatever ways that's just polluting and corrupting our thinking and having us engage in things that we would not if we were in touch with our deep thinking African mind. And so many things, there's a long, long list of things of what we can accomplish there. Among the things that we need right now, we need to be controlling the means of production. We need to be growing our own food. We need to be involved in the distribution of the food that we grow. And the African community centers would be a place for food distribution of clothing, goods, and vital services that we are in control of. We know who we're dealing with. And another very important issue that's needed right at this very, very moment and every moment that goes by that we haven't done it, we're failing, and that is to have our own healers. And so there's so many health issues that our people are dealing with that we only need healers and not pharmaceutical peddlers and ones that are cut on us, when oftentimes through natural ways of dealing with the spirit, mind, and body, their crisis or whatever dis-ease they have can be taken care of. So we need our own healers. We need our own physical therapists. We need our own people that sisters and brothers that have gone to medical school, that know the researchers and scientists that know how to properly analyze whatever is being, whatever we're dealing with, but also to be able to properly analyze and scrutinize what's being offered to us in terms of these toxic, corrupt vaccines that they're offering to us. And we need a voice not coming from them, but coming from our researchers and our scientists that know exactly what it is. And just to give you one example, and then I'll pause, is that there's this testing for COVID. And so they're sticking swabs up people's nose. And the swab is an extremely dangerous, potentially dangerous thing, because there's a point where, and it has happened, where the swab has gone up a person's nose and it went so far up, and there's a point where you come to a layer of skin, and on the other side of that layer of skin is the brain. And so there's a blood-brain barrier, and there have been swabs that have been stuck in people that penetrated that and caused them some serious physical, maybe mental problems, and on occasion death. But that's madness, to stick a swab up their nose when it's well known it's just not readily being used with us and we're not readily being told. But the testing can be done by way of blood, it can be done by way of urine, but it also can be done with saliva or spit. So why would you stick something up somebody's nose? Why would you take somebody's blood? Why would you have to go through the urine, urinating in a cup? And now they've got a test that they say they're going to stick it up your rectum. For real. But why? when you can do it with saliva or spit. And a reference that you can look up is Sister Dr. Velva, V-E-L-V-A, Bowles, B-O-L-E-S. She's been on the, she's going to be on the Us Lifting Us, one of our calls, but she's on been on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page a few weeks ago. But
mm-hmm.
Sister Dr. Velva, V-E-L-V-A, Bowles, B-O-L-E-S, and very extremely thorough. We need no tube stuck down our throat. And we don't need, as I said earlier, the swab when you can get the testing using saliva. And she says,
okay,
you know, call me, challenge me. I can speak just as scientifically, academically about what she says. So that's an example of the information sharing that we must be doing every day. To keep us from being confused, we do those things at the community center.
Thank you so much for detailing that information. So it sounds to me like this community center would be a place that would be inclusive of major aspects of our life, that there would be a place for healthcare services, there would be a place for food and nutrition, a place for learning and sharing of information, a place for physical wellness, that all of this would be included within that one space. So with us being the communal people that we are, it sounds to me like that would definitely fit a need, and that it would foster our mental and spiritual well-being going forward and helping to keep us whole. So with that said, let's take a couple of minutes break right here. Please stay with us, listening audience. We'll be back in about 2 minutes and continue our discussion on why do we need African-centered Ulu community centers wherever we live. All right, we're back with you once again. This is Dare to Win, and Dare to Win is the place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. I'm Sister Nanana, and I'm here this evening with Brother Thurman, who is a board member of Us Lifting Us. And we're talking this evening about the importance of having African-centered community centers for us to access and the impact that can have, and really the true need and necessity for them. So let's move the discussion a little bit further, Brother Thurman, and share with us how you see this whole need for community centers. How do you see this in relation to what Us Lifting Us is doing with building this global cooperative economy? What's the connection there?
Us Lifting Us has already had in place for some time on the drawing board, as well as drawings and floor plans and things like that, what's called a Us Lifting Us or Ulu Mart. And what we were using as a conversation about African-centered Ulu community centers is just a conversation that would that wouldn't only difference would if there is a difference would just be a difference in the name. So we're not talking about two separate things. We're talking about what is being detailed here in terms of the various things that needs to be done there, including having deliberate, therapeutic, deep conversation that was already in the plans when it comes to the Us Lifting Us marketplace. If there would be any difference in terms of in the very immediate future versus what we were looking for when the Ulu Mart was put on the drawing board, is that the intent was to open up a facility that would be the size of a small Home Depot or Walmart, or could be 75 to 150,000 square feet. That would just be wonderful, and in that it would encompass so many, many, a long list of things that needs to be a part of an African community center. And the size of the Ulu Mart in terms of the plans that's already been laid out, the floor plan, would encompass all of those things and more, because of having, that massive size, like 150,000 square feet. In there would be, which is needed, is a farmer's market. We need to be, as I said earlier, growing our own food on a huge scale that farmers would indulge in, and Black farmers. And the Black farmers that are still farming and have been for some decades now, are ready, are available to even step up their production when we step up our consumption of the foods that they've got. And one of the problems is, by not having the Ulu Mart or the community centers, is a lot of the Black farmers that have produce have difficulty getting it into the marketplace because they have to go through others that sabotage their movement and even sabotage their seed, giving them dead seeds to plant that didn't produce, and this is documented stuff. Mm-hmm. And so when we've got our own marketplace, now we've got a place for them to come and buy, and we've got to, in order to take control of our economics and our well-being, we've got to pool our resources and stop being at the mercy of others, and we would be giving our energy, our work, and sharing our money with the black farmers at the black farmers market. And then we also would have healthier, fresh food because we know where it came from and we knew how they grew it instead of some strange, not known sources of where the food is coming from. And just on the subject of farming, it is now in the news that the largest farmland owner in the U.S. at the current time is this person called Bill Gates that has been and still wants to inject more and more and huge numbers of African people with vaccines while he smiles at us. But he's now the owner of the largest pieces of farmland, perhaps in 18 states currently. And so the marketplace would provide those things. It would provide the schooling that we need. We need to have schools of our own. You know, as Malcolm said, in so many words, how dare you being willing to take your children, your babies, to people that have never, ever treated us right nor taught us right. And so we need that. And in the marketplace, we would be able to accomplish those kind of things and so many other things. We need to be aware and have the facilities where we can teach survival training, emergency preparedness, and what to do if you had whatever kind of emergency, and an emergency response team. People experience whatever kind of emergency situation, whether it was a collision or a tree fell on them or whatever, we need to be able to call on our teams, people that we can truly trust, versus having to be at the mercy of others. And
I see, and
it just goes on. We need financial literacy. We need to have our own control, even when it comes to those of us that make transitions and we're going through the death and the burial process. We need to be in control of that, and we actually can, with the marketplace that we own and control, we could be making sure that our people, and especially from the African perspective, that don't want to go through a European kind of service, home-going service with the body of our recently passed loved ones. And there are many sisters and brothers that are currently with us that can tell you no way they want the way that our ancestors have been, the services was conducted, that versus an African focus, a cultural focus service that would be more spiritually in line.
That is what you've just shared with us is a wealth of services that could be provided in a community type setting, in what might be called a community center, and you mentioned the Ulu Mart as a location where so many of the types of things that you're talking about could be provided and made available to our people. So that's painting a very real and a vivid picture for sure. We have a caller who has a question or a comment. The last four digits, 7204-7204. Caller, would you tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then give us your question or your comment, please?
Okay. Good evening. My name is Deborah, and I am from Virginia. How y'all doing
tonight?
Well,
welcome. Welcome, Sister Deborah. Always good to hear your voice.
Yes, indeed.
I just want to ask one question. And the question is, this is such a heavy topic. It's a meaningful and needed topic. Can we have, instead of one night, can we have two?
So what I'm hearing you say, Sister Deborah, is that you would like to have this topic addressed again.
on another Dare to Win broadcast. Is there a particular aspect of this topic concerning the community center that you would like to have addressed? Something in specific you want to delve into deeper?
Oh, it's so many. You know, it just coming together, people coming together in so many things. You know, we are tribal, more of a tribalistic people, and we've been so miseducated, and we're not trusting of each other, and it's just so many things, you know, that coming together, it's just the best thing we could do. And, you know, a lot of people that they're not even on the internet. I mean, like, it's just so many people out there, and we need to know that we're all one people, and we need to share things together.
Yes, I agree. You're so right, sister.
Yeah, thank you so much for your comments, and thank you for your request. And please know that is taken very seriously, and we will make that happen to address this subject again and continue to delve into it and to talk about how we actually have this come into fruition, because we are obviously identifying true needs that we have to be in each other's company. That's a very real part of who we are as people. We need to commune with each other, for sure.
Yes,
we do, for sure. Thank you, sister.
Thank you
so much for your request, Sister Devorah. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And once again, those in the listening audience, if you would care to take part in our conversation, the number to dial is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad to let us know that you have a question or a comment. One last thing, Brother Thurman, as we start to wind down here, you mentioned Us Lifting Us and the Ulu Mart, the plan for the Ulu Mart, and all of the piece parts that would be included in there, and how that relates to creating a space where some of the services from a community center could be provided. I think there's one other important piece around that we might want to look at real quickly. And that is a basic part of the whole plan that Ulu has for creating and bringing about this new economy, and for continuing to heal our community. And that's something that's called the Ulu Base Collective, or the UBC. And so these base collectives, or UBCs, that are part of the overall plan that Ulu has, these are small groups of Ulu members. You have to be an Ulu member first, in local communities or areas, who have the charge of, first of all, assisting to build the Ulu membership. That's one of the main things that they do, is to continually bring people into the fold as Ulu members and then as owners. Once you become a member, you then want to become an owner and invest in
purchasing shares or units in the cooperative ventures. Another task of the base collective is to assist with pooling of resources and building relationships within any particular community. You know, it's important to have relationships with other businesses, with people who choose to be entrepreneurs. It's good to have relationships with those who are in various political positions within the communities, the aldermen, the mayors, the other large businesses and employers, because all of that is part of how we make sure that our needs are met. The base collectives also serve as study and research groups. You know, we should constantly be in a process of learning, constantly in a process of doing research for whatever is needed in order to ensure our safety and our well-being, and to also in order to ensure that our children are receiving the attention that they need. Another responsibility of the UBC is to attend to the emergency and survival needs of those that are in what we call the collective, and in always possible to help build a sustainable community to ensure that we have the food security that we need, to provide emergency preparedness training. So these small groups of individuals that we refer to as a base collective, they are operating in the spirit and the context of the Black Power cooperative economics. And this will grow into the thousands globally. What we see in Us Lifting Us is that we will have these base collectives all around the globe, these groups of people coming together, ULU membership, and that this will help to support, definitely help to support the total cooperative economic ventures that we have as well. So these collectives are very basic to the whole movement, and they add stability to the overall plan that we have for the global economy. So I just wanted to add that as well. And I see that we have another question or a comment, so let's open the mic, and we'll take one more question here. Let's see, caller, your digits are 3440, 3440. Would you tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then give us your question or your comment, please?
Yes. Greetings and good evening to you, Sister Nanana and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka calling from Baltimore, Maryland. And I you went through a lot of stuff. I almost hung up because I said, "Well, you covered what I wanted to talk about." but the importance of bringing the ULU base collective for some of your listeners that may not be familiar with it, and it's an empowerment tool, and it allows not only to deal with the education, the health, and the commerce in the particular locale that you may be operating in, but it allows you from that connection and connection with others to be able to understand the global and politics that take place. For instance, and I'll just use this and I'll get off the line. We know that this country, the U.S., all right, has been at odds with China. All right, but we're not in a position to study globally what is happening because we're caught up from day to day. And we don't have an opportunity where we can come together, exchange, look at our locale, identify various things in that locale, And then eventually, as we interact, particularly with our African brothers and sisters who may be in Europe, in Africa, and other places, the impact of certain kinds of things that are taking place, events, activities that are taking place, and coming together allows you to be able to do that. Now, as I was saying, and I'll get off right quick, is that we understand that supposedly European, particularly European-controlled America, has some issues with China. Well, did we also know that the United States is trying to build alliance with Australia, Japan, and India in order to deal with the particular issues that they have in the domination of China with its global economy? All right. And think about this. Who is the vice president of the United States at this point in time? Well, Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, yes, she has some black blood in her. Well, black blood, you know, there's Indian that's black blood too, but the Indian subcontinent were more enthusiastic with her becoming the vice president than a lot of Africans over here. All right, so I just want to tell you the dynamics of the politics that are happening as we begin to figure out, but we come to learn these things as we come together. And it's just not coincidental, all right, that Kamala Harris, African Indian, all right, happens to be chosen to be the vice president of the United States. The same way to Obama during a time when the U.S. wanted to get more influence in the African and Arab world, we found out that the president that was chosen to be able to lead that effort, all right, was an African whose father was from Kenya and who has some affiliation with the Arab influence in East Africa. But I just bring those stuff up, and we don't know those stuff because we don't come together. And this community center, the UBCs that you talk about, allow us to be able to think locally and extend globally, and then from that global understanding, do what is necessary in order to benefit ourselves. So I just wanted to share that, and thank you so much for allowing me to be able to do that.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for those comments, for sure. Much appreciated. And I think we can see that this is a very broad subject, as Sister Deborah pointed out, and it's one that we would want to address again going forward into the future. So do you have any closing comments for us, Brother Thurman, as we wind down here?
Just that now more than ever, we need each other, and we need the places like the community centers where we can gather up. And if we put it in place tomorrow, it would not be too soon.
I agree. Tomorrow is not too soon because the time is definitely now. All right. Thank you, all of you, our listening audience. We thoroughly enjoyed having you and having this subject this evening. Please come back and join us next week for another episode with Dare to Win. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.